I'm Chris Farrell from the All Things Good and Nerdy podcast, a wacky weekend morning show, part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out right now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and the opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other awesome geeky shows over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
I am the Green Arrow.
The Green Arrow has entered through the front door.
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper. We call it the Starling Tribune. I am the chief editor tonight. My name is SP, and your other award-winning reporter for this episode number 233 of the Starling Tribune is Chris.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I knew you were going to pick that. I didn't even look at the show doc. I was like, Chris is definitely going to... We're going to talk about that later, by the way.
You've seen what's hanging on my microphone every time I podcast. It's Spider-Man.
I know. We're crossing the streams, but we cross the streams because the show crossed the streams.
It's perfectly acceptable then.
Michelle, by the way, is out for the night, and we hoped to have her back on the show next week. This podcast is recorded on Thursday, March 21st, 2019, live on www.geeks.live.
That's right, and this evening we'll be discussing the latest episode of Arrow, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week that could, and let's be honest, probably will impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as the greater TV universe. That means The Flash, Supergirl, Legends Tomorrow, and everything like that are also fair game.
If you're new to our show, first of all, thank you very much for searching us out and joining us. Now, as a little reminder, after the show, you can check out our content at GunnaGeek.com. That's our network, where you can also find other geeky videos and podcasts and articles. So, Chris, it's just you and me tonight. Why don't you go ahead and break down the episode for us?
So, this week we are talking about Season 7, Episode 16 of Arrow, entitled Star City 2049. Original air date was this last Monday as we record this, March 18th, 2019. The director, one of our favorites, James Bamford, coming back with his great touch on action. We know he's done 13 episodes of Arrow, one episode of Supergirl, and longtime fight coordinator, stunt coordinator for a lot of these shows. So he knows what he's doing, guys. For writers, we bring in the big guns. The showrunner herself, Beth Schwartz, has writer's credits, also written 28 episodes of Arrow, two of Legends, backed up by Oscar Balderrama, another very, very familiar name for us, with 18 credits as a writer for Arrow so far.
So this week, we had a full slate of shows starting on Sunday, the 17th of March 2019. Supergirl aired the 15th episode of the fourth season called Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? To a live rating of 1.07. Chris, did you happen to hear about this episode?
I believe this is the one where John Cryer made his debut as Lex Luthor. Am I correct?
That is very much correct. And I was wondering if you happened to check it out or not.
I have not watched it yet. Like I said, I'm a little behind on these. And I'm also burned by the fact that I bought the Amazon season pass at the beginning of the year. And because of the ongoing negotiations, let's put it that way, it has not updated since December. So I have none of the recent episodes of Supergirl. Or Arrow, for that matter, because I have both.
I feel for you, but if there's any way you could go in the CW app and just watch this one episode, I think you'll be doing yourself a favor, because I know you're a big Lex Luthor fan.
It sounds like an interesting thing to put on the treadmill tomorrow when I'm at the gym, because, hey, I do that for about an hour with commercials and stuff, probably about 45 minutes, and I got 15 minutes to do something else. I don't know, probably watch something on Netflix.
The episode will run 42 minutes. They do have the commercials in there with the CW app, so probably about 50, 52 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, 52 might be the sweet spot then. So then I got 8 minutes that I got to fill. That's not terrible. I can deal with that.
Yeah, you can listen to a podcast, maybe the Starling Tribune or something like that.
I might listen to the Starling Tribune, or I might listen to the GunnaGeek.com show, or any of the other things you can find here.
All right. So on Monday, the 18th of March, this episode of Arrow aired to a live rating of 1, which, yay. And then that following hour, Black Lightning aired the 16th episode of the second season, The Book of Apocalypse, Chapter 2, The Omega, to a live rating of 0.85, which is up 0.1 from last week. That was good. And then Flash, on Tuesday the 19th of March, aired the 16th episode of the fifth season, named Time Bomb, to a live rating of 1.64. That is up also from the previous week, but it is kind of down from a little bit from where they were. Still, Flash is bringing in the biggest ratings of all, and that's not really surprising to me.
No, Flash continues to be the big guns, exactly what we've expected in that regard. It's going to be interesting to see what decisions get made. The ratings are a little down compared to the past couple years, but again, we've talked about it on here, so we're not going to beat the dead horse too much, but the app, I think that makes a big difference for the number of views.
It's got to, especially this week, this particular week, which is the start of the NCAA tournament. I would imagine that there is a lot of people that are basketball focused right now, and they did have the play-in game starting on Tuesday night. They went into Wednesday night, but the real tournament started tonight, the night that we are recording, which is Thursday night. So I think ratings are going to be down for the bulk of this week, and then maybe a little bit next week as people catch up on their homework and work.
I started my bracket research on Monday. I mean, it was, of course, not during the Gonna Geek show as we recorded that. I would never do such a thing.
Totally irrelevant to the podcast, Chris, but who did you pick as your winner?
Oh, Duke.
Duke?
Zion Williamson's a beast.
I went with Gonzaga because they were a Cinderella team way back in the day, and they just always have my attention, and they came into the tournament as a number one seed. So, anyway.
No, that's fair.
We're not going to talk sports ball here, but we just had to get that out of the way because we're guys. And it is the start of the NCAA tournament.
But hey, if you want, you can tweet us who you think is going to win.
Yeah.
Let's have a brief aside here. Feel free to send us a tweet at Starling Tribune with your predictions.
Okay. So Star City 2040, not 2049, Chris, but Star City 2040, that is the episode name. And we often say that the theme of the episode is tied directly to the name. So Chris, what do you got for the theme this week?
So what you see is what you get here. We're in the year 2040 for all but about 2 minutes of this episode, maybe three, and hey, it takes place in Star City for a predominant chunk of it. The reverse of season one, where Star City is about to be destroyed versus the Glades. So yeah, Star City 2040, the theme is we're in Star City in the year 2040, guys. Don't have to read too deep into it.
Yeah, and we've got bombs that are going to go off of everything else.
Ba-boom.
There was an amazing training montage to start this episode off, and it's amazing to me because I've been talking about her all season long. Nissa Al Ghul made an appearance, no dialogue, but she made an appearance training Mia.
She did. It was so great to see. Had the cool scimitar sword, and she continues to be a badass. And I think at the time, now I haven't been able to research and confirm this, but we do know that Katrina Law recently just had a child. Depending on what the filming schedule was of this, she either was still pregnant while filming or had recently given birth, I wager, to her child. So kudos to her for going and doing such a physical scene and when she's probably not 100% comfortable.
I know. I follow her on Instagram. I know she was recently married. I know she basically toured the world. She's got some interesting things going on in her life. And just to see her there, it was great because it does tie a lot together. I don't know if we're going to see her again before the series ends later on this year or not. I hope we do, especially if she comes back and helps Mia at some point in time. I did like the fact that even though they aged Felicity, they didn't age Nissa that much.
It's those Al Ghul genes.
Yeah, she's got that timeless beauty.
I also enjoyed the fact that, hey, it kind of makes sense that she'd be there to train Mia, because that is her stepdaughter, after all.
Well,
she is Oliver's wife still.
Yeah, I mean, there was technically the divorce, but you're right. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah. Again, it was great seeing Katrina Law on the screen. You know, remember that scene where Tom Cruise was jumping up and down on top of the couch? Remember that?
Yes, I do.
I almost did one of those. If my back wasn't hurting, I would have done that. I would have been, it's Nissa.
I was really happy they kept it a secret before we transitioned off of that, because nobody had mentioned anything about Katrina Law being up there to film any scenes for Arrow or anything like that. She hadn't hinted at it on her Instagram or anything like that. So it was a complete and utter surprise. I was like, wait a second. Holy crap, it's Nissa. This is awesome.
And the other thing about that is that she was doing a lot of the stunts herself, so her training had stuck with her. You know, moving the fake sword, it wasn't a real sword, but she was moving the fake sword around and stuff. And I think it was great. I mean, she's got a future in action if she wants it.
Yes.
as long as we're talking about training montages and fights and stuff like that, there, and Mia has got some moves. Is little Mia, old Mia. I don't know if we're going to get little Mia again, but old Mia has got some moves. And when they were rescuing Felicity, they had a little scuffle out, and you could just tell. We've seen Black Star in the ring before, but this is the first time we've seen her out and about, and she was just kicking butt and taking names, Chris.
Right, and there's a difference between the cage fighting, where it's pretty much one-on-one, versus here being in a scene with armed guards, taking out multiple at a time, and then kind of in a nice homage to Die Hard and the like, being shoeless during all of that, because honestly, who would want to have to fight wearing heels? Nobody would want to do that. That's a problem Oliver Queen never had to consider, really.
Right. And then we have, I'll just call it the party at the Glades, because that's kind of what it was. It was in different places. You had the street stuff going on, but really the real action was in, and I don't know if it was in Kevin Dale's office or not, but it was inside the building when she went up against all those armed guards. And you could just tell the smile on her face. She was like, okay, let's get this on. So you can tell she doesn't like to be a vigilante. You can tell she doesn't like to fight, but she does like to fight.
She's like her father in that regard, because let's be honest, one of the things about Oliver Queen, and it's one of the things that Prometheus, Adrian Chase, harped on, is he likes to fight. That's his thing. Whether he truly likes what comes of it, the fight excites Oliver when he's out there.
And Mia doesn't have the altered voice either, which I actually, we talked about that last time. I am very much thankful that she isn't like, you have failed the city or something like that.
There's really no reason for the altered voice at this point in time, because let's be honest, none of the vigilantes are really trying at all to hide their identity.
No, not anymore. I mean, everybody knows that they're the vigilantes. Everybody knows that they're not supposed to be doing what they're doing. And we'll get to that in a second. The one thing I will say about the action left is that she destroyed that cube, that Kevin Dale's cube, in one shot. That was amazing. Of course, it's all CGI and everything, but the way they showed it, you can tell that Mia has some mad skills across the board. She's not going to choke. She's going to be there. If we have any more of these scenes in the future, which I think we will, Mia's going to be at the center of that.
I did enjoy that this fight in this office at the Glades next to the party was in a darker environment. The lights go out. And I imagine that it also made things a little bit easier for James Bamford directing-wise, because you don't have to be as tricky about trying to hide stuntmen's faces in certain scenes and things like that. Because I'm pretty sure that Stephen Amell doesn't do all his fight scenes, and I would wager that Catherine McNamara is probably not doing all of the action in there. She's probably in a good chunk of it. But you don't have to worry about hiding stunt people or making it less obvious that, hey, we had to swap out the actor here for a second for something that's a bit more high risk or requires a bit more specialized training. But again, also scenes at night, darkened room fights, those are awesome.
Right. Oliver Queen, we only saw for the briefest moments in this episode. This is the star of the show, Stephen Amell. We already know the show got canceled because Stephen couldn't no longer do it because he was having issues traveling back and forth to see his family in LA. So Stephen Amell was only in, like, I don't know, 2 minutes or so at the beginning.
I think he only had one line.
And he is never around again. They didn't show him with Felicity. They didn't show Felicity communicating with him. They didn't show Mia as knowing her dad at all. So I think we're going to see some things in the future. I think we've alluded to some of the things before with the crossovers, and we think he's made a deal with the monitor, but I don't think he's around.
The only thing we saw of him in the future was there was a picture on Felicity's desk projected up on one of the monitors next to a picture of her and William. So kind of her family shrine is the screensaver in her little hacking room, it seemed like. But there was nothing, like you said, nothing else of Oliver in the future. And they didn't mention anything other than, yeah, it's Oliver and I's kid. There was no, oh man, where's Oliver? Oh, we miss Oliver. No hints as to what's going on. And the more they don't talk about it, the more I start to think they really want us to think he's dead. And there's going to be something trickier than just him dying is what I'm starting to think. I don't know what it is. Maybe he has to go serve the monitor and work for the monitor, and that's how they can easily insert Stephen Amell back into things later in some guest spots or things like that. But I'm starting to think it's too simple to think that Oliver Queen's dead. There's going to be something else in play.
I'll go with that. And I'm wondering if we're going to see him back in the future or not, or if literally this is the march to him no longer being on the show. And then these flash forwards are his legacy, because we've heard Stephen Amell, not Oliver Queen, but we've heard Stephen Amell say the one thing the left is for him to leave a legacy. And I think this is the start of him leaving the legacy. In addition, the whole team got together for the first time in the future. The entire team, minus Oliver.
And Diggle.
Oh, yeah. Diggle's not around either. So that's another wonder of what's going on there. But the whole team is together. Even Renee, by the end of it, joins the team.
He does see the light, or sees how he's being played, for lack of a better term. But I certainly think the implication of how they've set things up is that Mia has little to no memory of her father, meaning that he wasn't around shortly after her birth or shortly after the early years of her life. Because, let's be honest, I don't know of anything off the top of my head I remember from like the age of like 4, anywhere under 4 that I can think of. So if I take my same experience looking forward, it's entirely possible that he could have lived a few years past her birth. We don't know. There's a lot of speculation, and I'm sure everyone's going to have their theories as to what happened to Oliver Queen. And like I said, I have mine. I'm curious what everyone else is going to think. So again, that's another thing you can tweet us about or send us some feedback on. What is your theory for how Oliver Queen's future is determined in this show?
And talking about Mia just a little bit further, we find out that she has had a romantic relationship with Connor Hawke.
Yes, which kind of gets why she might feel betrayed by the fact that he's like, oh yeah, I work for the good version of Argus. And I never told you this entire time. I think I would also be in that same boat and be like, you son of a gun. Trusted you, and trust doesn't come easy to her at that point in time. And I sort of get where he's coming from at the same time. Like, I couldn't tell you. He goes, other than that, like, everything was real. But it's a real hard hurdle for someone to overcome, to feel like someone's been tricking you the whole time. Makes you question what was real and what wasn't, and you kind of get why she'd be like, I don't know if any of it was.
She's had issues with Felicity, now she has issues with Connor. She's never really been together with William. She's learning to work through those issues. So we'll see what this goes through in the future. I don't foresee any more future episodes being entirely in the future, unfortunately, for the rest of the series. Then we might get one, I guess, next fall, but I think we're just going to get minutes now. Not even a half an episode in the future. So I think we're on a limited time budget to tell the story of what happens with Renee, what happens with Kevin Dale, and what happens with the future vigilante team.
One of the things I'm really curious to find out about Mia and William is when Mia found out that she has a half brother. When was that revelation? I mean, she didn't seem to look on Felicity's desk when she found the hacker den, the picture of Felicity and William. She didn't seem to look at it with recognition of who he was, but I might be reading too much into it. Maybe she didn't find out about him until then. I don't know. I don't know if that even really matters in the grand scheme of things, other than just me being curious.
Well, you know, she does a lot of research and has access to stuff that you can't find anywhere else. So once she saw the picture, she might have gotten curious and in between fights done some research into who exactly that person was.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out.
Well, now, Chris, I am not versed in the comics at all when it comes to Night Watch, so I don't know if this is a thing in DC Comics in the future or not.
I don't know either.
Okay, so listener, if you know something about Night Watch, let us know, because neither of us know anything about Night Watch, and I didn't have time to do any research into it before the show, but I am interested in that. And I'm also interested in the Emerald's Capital, which is backing William. The inference is that is Felicity. I think that's as good as closed right now. I don't think there's going to be any more levels to that. But Emerald's Capital was there. And then there was also Galaxy One, which apparently is the big bad corporation by Kevin Dale, which was the outgrowth, I guess, of Eden Corp. And the inference is that Eden Corp had literally nuked cities. So we are living in somewhat of a dystopian future.
I mean, something that we saw glimpses of in the Legends episode of Star City 2049. It's still implied that that doesn't happen anymore, but that's 9 years post what we're seeing here. There's potential.
So you mentioned, you're in the quote as we started, the great quote from Stan Lee that he wrote, "With great power comes great responsibility." And I took a look to see when this was filmed. This was filmed in like January or so. At least that's what the inference was from Beth Schwartz tweets.
Mm-hmm.
And Stan Lee passed away in November. But I was thinking the script was probably written in that time period between the middle of November and the end of December. So I think when the script was written, this was deliberately put in as a nod to Stan Lee after he passed away.
It's entirely possible. And remember, this is a show that likes to make comic book references. There's a sense of fun.
This is one of the few references that they've made to the Marvel universe. And I think the reason that they did it was the nod to Stan Lee.
Very well could be.
So that brought a warmth to my heart, especially after seeing Captain Marvel recently. And if you haven't seen Captain Marvel yet, yes, we're going to cross the streams again. And Arrow opened it up. But if you haven't seen Captain Marvel, go see it and you will see an amazing homage to Stan Lee at the beginning. So very happy that Marvel decided to go that route. What else did you have of interest in the episode, Chris?
So I think there's something going on with Roy, something that's happened in the past. We don't know what exactly, but he seems to lose control a little bit when they're confronting one of the police officers in Star City trying to get information. And the guy, of course, punches Roy in the face, and then Roy just goes overboard and beats the tar out of him. So the question is, what is it that has him so angry or has him losing control like that? Is it something we're going to find out more about? Maybe it has something to do with why Thea hasn't shown up. We did see Nyssa this week. We did see Roy this week, so we know that they both are alive at some point in the future. We don't know exactly when in the future Nyssa was appearing. The implication is within 3 years of 2040, so probably 2037-ish. But we've seen nothing of Thea other than a taped appearance on a talk show or on the history video that Mia watched earlier this year, which could have been and was recorded in the current timeline we're seeing in season 7. So maybe Roy's rage has to do in part with why Thea's not around. I'm digging deep on this one. I don't know.
Man, he definitely raged out on Anson. Oh, the cop in Star City. If he wasn't pulled off of Anson, he would have killed him.
I think so too. And if you don't want to know a set photo thing, plug your ears for the next 20 seconds. There's set photos of Colton Hayes on set in present day Star City wearing the Arsenal costume. So something's going to happen in present day time in Star City that's going to reveal some things that might tie into why Roy is raging out.
And the whole dun 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 moment in the future is actually in current day, where Felicity activates Archer. So she feels like she's responsible for everything because of that.
Yep. It makes sense.
Yeah. And I hate to say it, I'm not really on the edge here, because I know it's just like a plot device to get us from one point to the next. But I am kind of curious as how the Archer system evolved over time, because this is 20 years in the future.
Yes, I looked at it this way, and I'm going to cross the streams again. Felicity built her very own Jarvis, or Friday. I'm crossing over into the Marvel side of things, where it was an AI or a smart computer that eventually grows through self-learning and enrichment, becomes more and more capable, as Tony talked about with Jarvis, and the implication is happens with Friday, his current AI. So I'm thinking along those lines that Archer's an AI that kind of becomes out of control. So it's Skynet. Let's go Terminator terminology.
Okay, well, there's that, or you could find a soul stone and create a living robot out of it, too.
Well, there you go. If the Infinity Gems show up in this show, I'm very concerned, because I'm not sure how that would happen.
You know, if I had a quote to start off the episode, I would have chose Mia's quote, "Let's go save the city." That was her homage to the dad in the episode.
And then we did touch on it earlier, no John Diggle this episode, not really much of a reference to him other than Connor Hawke talking about being proud of his adoptive father and the fact that I don't understand why he'd adopt me if he didn't want to spend time with me, but then kind of realizing why, because he was saving the city. Now, I don't know if that is leading us to think that Diggle's dead. It didn't sound like there was a past tense or a wistfulness that was to those expressions, but they're certainly teasing the fact that Diggle hasn't shown up, so maybe he's dead.
There's two other moments I want to talk about. One is when Dinah finds out that Felicity is still alive, and the hug that they shared was very heartwarming. It was genuine, the way they portrayed it. Dinah was like, "Oh my gosh, you're still alive, and it's been so long." And yeah, and you find out that the Black Siren and the calculator and everybody was working together. The other thing is that Zoe and Renee had a very, very contentious episode where Zoe righted the ship, basically, with Renee. I don't think Renee was interested in listening to the facts. I think the facts coming from Zoe was what ultimately pinned him over. That and finding out that nobody was going to be evacuated and people were actually going to be killed.
Right. And you sort of feel a little bad for Wild Dog Renee here, rather, because, or at least I do. Maybe it's because I've started to like the character again after the disaster we had a while back. But he had the best of intentions, now maybe not accomplished the best way of how to make the Glades prosper. And one of the things he's been talking about in present day is how the Glades kind of keeps getting short shifted by Star City and everything like that. It's not really observed. So a Renee in the future who has his focus on the Glades wanting to make it prosperous kind of makes sense with the Renee we've seen now, and taking a desperate measure of wanting to destroy the crusty, dirty shell that is Star City around it to try and make it prosper sort of makes sense as something he'd want to do. And in his mind, it was, we need to get the people out of there before we do it so that nobody really gets hurt. It's not the best way of doing it, but you at least understand his motivations and then understand why he'd flip to join back with the vigilantes, because he's not going to be able to make the Glades grow and be prosperous. He's gotten tricked. They're using Renee's ambition to save the Glades against him, basically. And he does not want innocents to die.
And this is a whole worldwide domination plot here. This is not something that's specific to Star City. This is, the whole world is going to be controlled by Archer here. And it's got far-reaching consequences. I don't know what else is in the world right now. They did mention cities got nuked. I don't know what's there and what's not.
So do we think Gotham got nuked?
Oh, it's probably the first one to go.
Yeah, probably. And we can ask that now because we know Gotham exists in this world.
You think Batman survived?
Well, we don't know because he's gone in Batwoman, which takes place in the same timeline. So, yeah.
Well, he's missing. I don't want to say he's dead.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, next week we have the next episode for Arrow. We get three episodes in a row, and it is titled Inheritance. It's the 17th episode of the 7th season. It will air on Monday, March 25th, 2019. A quick summary is, after a trip to the future, next week's episode of Arrow brings us back to the present as Oliver Queen begins to investigate his newfound sister, Emiko, who wasn't in the episode this week, and what he finds is troubling, to say the least. The director was Patia Prouty, and writers were Sarah Tarkoff and Elizabeth Kim. Live from the Starling Tribune main news desk on floor 52 of the Starling Tribune Tower, it's the weekly news roundup with non-award-winning weatherman Chris Farrell.
I thought I was at least the sports reporter.
No, we can go with sports reporter. In any event, Chris, it really doesn't matter because with Michelle not around, there just was no news. I mean, the Arrow team knew that we weren't going to be able to do the news this week.
They knew if Michelle wasn't here to cover it properly, there was no reason to drop anything big this week. And we did look before we started recording, and most of what was out there was just kind of interviews and reactions to this last week's episode. And the only thing that was really newsworthy, I kind of teased you with guys before, talking about some set photos that revealed a character in present day. So the news is there's no news?
Yeah, at least that we found.
That's fair.
So hopefully we'll get some news next week when Michelle comes back.
That being said, though, guys, we're wrapped up for this week. We've deep dived on this episode. We've geeked out. We've theorized on what the future is for things. And we've asked you guys, our faithful listeners and viewers, send us your thoughts on what might be happening. And also your NCAA bracket championship picks. We want to know those, too. But seriously, thank you everyone for joining us today over on Geeks.live for the live video version of the podcast. And also thank you to everyone who downloads the replays over at youtube.com/GunnaGeek, or excuse me, watches the replays there, or downloads the audio podcasts from starlingtribune.com.
I have actually used our podcast as a skill on the Amazon device. And if you have one at home, I encourage you just to check that out. You can enable our podcast as a skill. Just tell the Amazon device to enable Starling Tribune and it will. And then you can try out actually playing our podcast or any podcast there as well that has a specific skill on the device. We have had a lot of conversation on our Discord server, which you can find at goodageek.com/discord, about everything going on. If you want to know about the Disney merger with Fox, I mean, that's talked about on a lot of our shows, including my other show, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., which details the Marvel comic universe. I'm sure you guys will cover it this Sunday on All Things Good and Nerdy.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot going on. And when we're not podcasting, we're in the Discord and having a lot of fun talking about a lot of variety of things, smart speakers, podcasting, comic books, TV shows, movies, and everything. So you can catch us there. And remember, you can catch us live as we record this show, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific at www.geeks.live on Thursday nights.
And don't forget, guys, we really do love to hear from you, be it on Twitter, at Starling Tribune, on Facebook, at our Facebook page at facebook.com/Starling Tribune, or Instagram. But don't forget, if you don't want to use social media, we're okay with that. You can call us. Pull out that internet device you have, like your cell phone right here that's pretty much just a portable internet device. No. You can hit that phone button, and you can give us a call at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Please give us a call. Let us know what you think about this week's episode, and also give us your conspiracy theories for the fate of Oliver Queen.
Hey, Chris, that was a fun and great episode. I mean, as fun as we can get without Michelle.
It's true.
That just wraps it up for another week. Any last words before we sign off? At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag future Hoss went good.
Got to get that Hoss in, huh?
Got to do it.
And I am at Stargate Pioneer on Twitter, signing off with hashtag Nissa was back. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at gunnageek.com or check out our archive at starlingtribune.com. Visit gunnageek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.